We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Hello, everybody. Hey now, everybody. It is WNBA Finals time right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. This is Courtside with Christy and Gabe. I am Christy Winter-Scott, joined as always by my guy, Gabe Ibrahim. And Gabe, oh, we got the ones and the twos. We got the ones and the twos in the finals, best of five series. But I tell you what, it's going to be, I hope, a five-game final series, because that's the best. And we want the best for the finals of this great WNBA season.
I wish it was going seven, but five is fine. But, you know, we'll take five. Five is good. Five is good. We're going to get to homecoming and all that. But, yeah, no, it's October. It's crisp.
Right?
It's nice. We're finally get to the nice weather to our basketball season coming up. I have my coach polo, because I had another polo that was creating an optical illusion that was very confusing in the camera. So the coach will, if you're on YouTube, let me know what you think of the whole buttoned up look.
Look at Gabe all buttoned up.
I'm trying out different styles preseason. Now's the time to experiment.
Talk the world, Gabe. Break it up. Break out all your stuff.
We're in the postseason for the WNBA, and obviously the Aces and the Liberty. Game one is on Sunday at 3 p.m. on ABC. The Aces sweeping the Wings. Which,
great fight though.
Great fight. Especially in the, and they pushed the Aces to the brink there in the, that game three. But the Aces came out, swinging at the end with an 11-0 run and promptly put away any dissent. The Liberty went four games with the Sun before, moving on past them to give us the finals that everyone, a lot of people wanted. I think this is the finals that is like the best for the league, though. These two are the first off, the most talked about teams, the most hyped teams, the most star-studded teams, the teams with the most players that, like, you Google with the faces of the league, and
crazy,
they're the two best teams in the league.
So they are.
I just think this should be, everyone should just be so hyped for this.
I mean, they were the top two teams all season long, and even with, you know, Connecticut obviously giving a great fight in that four-game series.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been really great basketball across the board in the league throughout this season. And, you know, when you have the super team's name hung on you in February or whatever, all these changes and all, you know, Stu York and all this stuff is popping and Candace Parker going to Vegas. And that's why that was a super team, because everyone's like, it's not a super team. It's the same as last year. But when it was named super team, that's when they had Raquana Williams and Candace Parker, you know, and they were beating.
Well, and Alicia Clark could join that.
And Clark. And they had, you know, what did they have? a couple games out of the gates where they were winning by 30. And everybody was like, oh, snap, with the healthy team with Vegas. And of course, Alicia, I didn't mean any harm by not mentioning her.
Oh, yeah. Just someone
being added to that squad. It was already, you know, obviously the WNBA champions last year. So, I mean, a lot has changed as the year has progressed. But one thing that has remained the same is that, you know, these two teams have battled it out. You saw the Commissioner's Cup going to New York. Okay, and it didn't go in the overall record, but trust and believe, New York remembers that, but so does Vegas, okay? And that was, to me, a realization of how invaluable mm-hmm. the presence of Jonquil Jones was. And before that, it was still, you know, it was hit or miss in terms of the continuity and rhythm that Jonquil Jones had with her new team, right? A lot of moving parts. And Sandy Brondello was saying, hey, she just needs to, you know, stay with it and get in a good game rhythm with what she brings. And what changed for her, Gabe, was her ability to get to the glass. And she said as much. And the second half of the season after that Commissioner's Cup, after All-Star break, we saw a different New York team because mm-hmm. of the change in Jonquil Jones in that Commissioner's Cup game where she was named MVP.
And you know, why don't we just get, I have like some questions. I have like some little banners. So let's just get to my first one, because what you're talking about answers my first question, at least for me, is who is each team's X factor? Okay. Yeah. I think, and it's crazy somewhat to sit here and say that, you know, Jonquil Jones is an X factor given everything she's accomplished. But, you know, Stewie still gets a lot of the attention in terms of the defensive energy, the defensive focus. You know, Jonquil somehow, and so Sabrina does as well. So Jonquil can kind of, you know, find her spots and actually play, yes. I think, in the way that, and you're saying, when she found that rhythm toward in that second half of the year, she kind of figured out like, oh, I can just mm-hmm. kind of play. You know, yeah. I can roll when I want to. I can pop when I want to. And my guards and Brianna and Binaja and Courtney are so good, they can get it to me. So, or I can just rush the rim and get offensive rebounds, which she did a lot too.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I think for her, just like the, what she's going to bring the most, mm-hmm. and you mentioned it as well, is that offensive rebounding. Cause that's just such a huge area for New York in this series. I mean, I'm looking, you look at the four factors for each of the games in the regular season, that does not include the Commissioner's Cup. you look at the four factors, which, you know, one is effective field goal percentage. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this. The others are turnovers. Offensive rebounds and free throw rate. So free throws, offensive rebounds, turnovers, and field goals.
Okay.
All the ways that basketball possession can happen. So the team who won the field goal percentage battle was 3-1, which mm-hmm. is what you'd expect. That's the most important category. Obviously, if you make more shots than the other team, you're going to win. The other two, turnovers and free throws, teams were 2-2. For offensive rebounding, the teams actually ended up 3-1. Mm-hmm. Whoever won that category was 3-1 in the four games. And the one that was an outlier there was actually the first game when Candace Parker was playing. So it was a little different. So my point is, there's statistical evidence that offensive rebounding can be like a deciding issue here. And Jonquil Jones brings all that offensive rebounding.
Yeah.
So she is the biggest X factor for me for New York.
I hear you on that, but I think it's for me, and I love what Jonquil has done. Sure, and in that Commissioner's Cup game, clearly the difference maker, clearly, no question about that. However, I'm going with the unsung hero or heroine. I'm going with Binaja Laney, because listen, I don't think she gets enough love for what she does on the floor. And everyone's talking about, okay, her offensive prowess. Okay, she's getting 20 and 19 in the series. It was just consistently effective. And I love that, right? But then sometimes, and I always say this, right? When you're consistently excellent, sometimes it's like, that's just what's expected of you and you don't get the credit. Mm-hmm. And sometimes if you fly under the radar and you're scoring 6-8 points a game, and then you bust out and have, you know, a 20-point game, it's like, oh, wow, she's really – no. But when you stay the same, boom, boom, mm-hmm. boom, game after game, you kind of get lost in the sauce of the gratitude meter, You know, and so for me, I'm going to go ahead and give a whole bouquet of flowers to Banaa Gelaney. And I think she's the X factor for New York. And yes, everyone else has to do their job. We're talking about former MVPs in Jonquel Jones. And this year, you know, you had Stewie get it again. So Courtney Vandersloot has been in the mention of being MVP as well. So you have those players. And Sabrina, I mean, you have all these players with grandiose expectations of what they do. And even if they're not spot on with their shooting percentage, like just for example, which is fine because they're where they are now because mm-hmm. of their collective unit, but they wouldn't be where they are without Laney. And absolutely I will say not. That. And I can say that with, and I'm sure they probably say the same thing. So I'm not saying that as a shade, you know, to any of the players or coaches or anything else, but give credit where credit is due, and credit needs to be pushed to Banaa Gelaney right here as the X factor for New York, because I don't think she's been given enough love, respect, and you know, gratitude, and not from her own team, but I'm just saying, like, from the public in general, like, we're forgetting. And I think some people are kind of catching, you know, yeah. catching it, because they're like, wait, Banaa Gelaney's picture needs to be up here for doing everything that she did in that series. Like, hello. So I think there are some people who are realizing that she's the X factor for them too.
I will say this about the graphics, because I have to make graphics for the show. So I do just want to explain, like, the graphics go towards your search engine optimization. And because we've created this world where Google is so important, I'm telling you, the only people that go into the graphic are the people who are getting Googled the most. And Banaa is there, but you'd have to look for, like, the right, you have to, like, time it. And it's like, okay, if you're searching for, like, search terms in the last 2 months, she may not be at the top of the search box.
Wow.
I'm just saying that's how some people do it. That's why I don't get really mad at the graphics, because, like, I'm sure that's just someone being like, hey, who's the most Googled of these players? And I'm going to tell you, it's Kelsey Plum, Asia Wilson, Brianna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu. Those would be the four that, and no shock, all of them, along with Jonquel, are in our graphic. Because
wow. So can fans sway the analytics of that?
So when if you Google Banaa a lot, and she's getting Googled a lot more now, so maybe in a few months, the people making graphics, like maybe by the end of the finals, we're getting the graphic where, you know, it's Banaa in front because she's being Googled. I'm just saying, that's just what I just want to give a quick defense of social media graphic designers. I understand.
Yeah, I was wondering. And I think other people were wondering too, because I was seeing that.
But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Okay. She's definitely undervalued in our world.
I think she is. And I love her. She has the best hugs. Oh my God. But, you know, the fact that, you know, she had an injury, she mm-hmm. bumped teams, you know, and then now she's found her home there in New York, and she is thriving in that system that Sandy Brondello has for their team and their personnel. And I think, you know, she said it as well. You know, that Laney has been their X factor. I don't know if she used those words, but I mean, she has said and given her a lot of praise for her consistency this year. And that's all coaches want.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Trust and believe. Like, if consistency for you is 5 points and 5 rebounds and 3 assists, do it all the time. Like, when I say consistency, I'm not talking about mind blowing numbers, right? We don't need a gaudy stat line. If that's what you do, do that. Okay. But do your job, do it well, and do it consistently well. That's what coaches expect, and that's what they want. And coaches across the board are going to hold you accountable to being consistent in absolutely. What you bring to the table. So, I mean, she's done that, and she definitely has to do it in this series for New York against Vegas.
And she's been that consistently, and then in the playoffs, she just kind of kicked it up a notch because, you know, just like, logically, she is the player who's usually going to have the matchup. You know, the defense is going to be more geared towards stopping Sabrina. Defense can be more geared towards, you know, making it difficult for Courtney Vandersloot, for, you know, Jonquel Jones, for Brianna Stewart. And we talked, we said this on the show, like, it's crazy that she's the fifth best player on this team, but she is the fifth best player on this team. And she can just keep this team afloat when, you know, they're trying to figure out a defense, when they're trying to figure out how to get the ball to the spots they want. She'll just get the ball to wherever she wants and score from there. And, you know, the numbers have kicked up to the point where she's had at least 19 points in every game that the Liberty have won.
She had three points
in the loss, but like otherwise she's averaging a shade over 20 points, two games of 19 points, two games of 20 points, a game of 21 points. And it's just that consistency of doing what she does and then having more opportunity, because in the playoffs, teams, you know, are waiting on those other players and they're giving you more of that chance. They're choosing her as the poison and she's killing them. So I think it's a great X factor pick. I mean,
I mean, you know, absolutely. And I agree with that, but I watch a lot of basketball shows, you know, NBA and WNBA, and a lot of talk is about the others. And I don't buy into that word. I don't know why. And it's not, I'm not mad when you say it, but I don't like that. Right. Because it's not the others. When you're a unified squad, they don't see it like that.
Did I say the others?
I don't think, like, if we're on a team, we're both on the same team and we're playing, like, and you're scoring 30 a game and I'm scoring like five, would you consider me an other?
Yes.
No.
I mean, come on. You know you have your, all right, come on. Christy, come you know on, you have man. Your all district players. You have your all district, all world, all not region, all whatever players. The point of basketball, I don't want to give kids the wrong impression. The point of basketball is put the ball in the basket. If you like do it. That a lot more than everyone else.
I don't like that.
Christy, you were the...
I'm not an other. And okay.
You were never an other because you're too good. That's what I'm saying. How would you know? How would you know? You've always been the best player on the team.
No, but I didn't consider my teammates others. Like,
no, you weren't. No. Battling. Not as your teammate. As your coach, absolutely.
I don't like, is there another word we can use? I just feel like other. It's like, you know, I think it's dismissive. I think it's dismissive to their overall impactful role that they bring to the table. So I'm not, we have these guys and then the others. Like, it's like so dismissive.
I
mean,
that's how
you dismissed me when I got painted into that. I don't appreciate that.
So,
you dismiss me.
Because I did not dismiss you. I was telling you you're the best player on the team. So how could you know what the others are? You've never been an other.
I know, but I see what you're saying.
No, I'm not. But look, as a teammate, absolutely. Others. As a teammate, absolutely.
Maybe
we could use it. I didn't even know I used that word. It's just like a term. As a coach, and when we're scouting, it's like, okay, you know, this kid is like giving it to him. He has 30 points. These other kids are not. They're shooting at random times. It's just like an easy way to delineate what our defense is going to be focused on.
I hear you.
You say, hey, 20, 30 for the Liberty, which is Brianna Stewart. And 21. Those two are the players. And then you got to kind of give the others the role players. I don't like role. I think role players.
Everybody's a role player.
The role player is worse. It's like.
Everybody's a role player.
That's what I'm saying.
Even like your 30-point game player, that's their role.
Does non-stars, does that sound better?
That's worse.
That's worse, right?
The stars and the non-stars? Wow, this is like getting worse and worse. They're all great. Like, they're all...
That's the point.
They're all great. They're all stars in their role. Period. And we have to come up with something that's not dismissive or belittling to the people who don't score the gaudy numbers. What is that? And we need to ask people in the internet.
There's probably a better, I don't know, the others. I didn't even know I said that. I was not trying to be dismissive.
No. When I said if you scored, if we were teammates and you scored 30 a game and I scored 5, would I be an other? And you were like, yeah. I'm like, no.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But come on, Chris, come on. As, from like a,
help him,
a
man.
Wait, from an analyst perspective, analyst coach, I perspect as a teammate. No, as a teammate, everyone is like,
yeah, you know,
that's we're all equal.
But the, how right. does that sound though? When you hear that, like in our locker room, we're like this hand to hand. Like
we're not in the locker room. I don't,
we're tight, right? But then when you, I mean, mentally, we're like this. Like yeah. I'm not listening. Like I don't hear that. But then I hear these guys and then these other people. Like, does that is that going to divide the team mentally? Like,
well, you don't. I mean, you don't say it in the locker room as for your own team, but you know it.
Yeah.
Every coach in America, if you got them true serum and you ask them who are your stars and who are your others, they could have it like that.
They could have it like that.
And if they can't, they're not that good of a team.
That's true. But I still, it doesn't mean I have to like it. Like, I get it. I get a lot of things that I don't like.
The other players on the Liberty who are not getting as much defensive attention. Of those players, I would say Jonquil and Bonanza. Yeah. I don't know who's gonna get the most defensive attention. Yeah. Maybe we should flip over to the other side and we could talk a little bit about their defensive attention.
Yeah.
Aces, I think.
Yeah.
Their defense has been playing extremely good basketball.
Yes.
In these playoffs. I think they've been all over it. Great communication and just, you know, Asia cleaning up everything at the rim. That's been their MO all season. I think they've really gotten into that.
Yes.
But
uh-oh.
This is a team they've struggled with, right? We've seen them, you know, kind of get worked a little bit. They got worked.
Matchups, honey.
So for the Aces, in order to not get worked, who's the X factor?
Who? I mean, the easy answer is the sixth player in the league, right? With AC, Alicia Clark being the X factor. But I honestly think it's her. Okay. I think it's got to be her. I think she's got to, you know, she's got to knock down those paint threes from Gray, those no looks and rim runs, you know, where they're out on the move. I think pace is going to be huge for the Aces to turn New York over and get in gaps and get downhill in the open floor. And I when I'm saying all these things, I'm thinking Clark, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking Clark is the recipient of a lot of those, because she'll bust out and get some easy rim runs and finishes, you know, just because of the pace of play, but also because of her defense, right? If she doesn't finish it, she's going to start it with getting a deflection, you know, or a board, right? She's going to outwork you on the glass. She's going to get pace for the team. You know, if she's not the recipient at the end of it, she's going to be the reason they have the ball at the beginning of it. She just brings that energy. She has an incredible motor in that way. So it's the easy answer, right? Because of the award that she earned this year as sixth player of the year. But I'm going to go with her. I'm going to go with AC. What do you have?
No, so I want to talk a little bit more about AC. I have a little different, although that's probably, you are correct. I think you're right. Because like X factor, you know, yeah. Someone off the bench is a great definition of an X factor. We didn't really define an X factor.
No, but like impact, like without, like take one of those non like the graphic people, you know, off the list to choose from, and then who else would come in and make a difference?
You choose from the others.
And
the other players on the team.
The other players on the team. Gabe. Okay, look, but you have to see what it, I always try to say this, like, okay, we know what it is with them. Like, if you don't have Clark, how bad would that hurt the team? And so if you don't have Laney, how bad would that hurt the team? So for me, you need both of those guys. Those are your X factors, respectively. And so that's how I do it. I kind of do like reverse psychology on it. Like, if you miss them, how much of an impact would that make without them on the floor? So I think that's the answer for me.
So how, let me ask you this about Alicia being on the floor. So yeah. she's been coming in for Kia Stokes at the four, playing the four, which she's really good at. And she's former post player, has that pedigree. That becomes a little bit more complicated when you're talking about a team that has Jonquil Jones and Breanna Stewart now AC, very familiar with Breanna Stewart. I can't imagine the amount of like training camp, practice, just post battles those two would have when they were teammates in Seattle. Let's say Alicia stays coming in for Kia Stokes.
Okay.
Do you kind of just trust her on Stewart? And the other question would be is like, do you change up your rotations to say, okay, Alicia, you're not going to just play. It's not a one-for-one switch with you and Stokes. Like, you're coming in for Young sometimes. You're coming in for Plum sometimes. And you're going to play the three and the four rather than just playing the four to avoid kind of putting her, you know, in a bad position, I think, both offensively and defensively. But it could be a good position because she could just cover Breanna Stewart. And now we have a problem with like Asia Wills. I don't know. Quick, could you help me out there?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying. And I think that, you know, the beauty of Alicia Clark's game is her versatility, right? Is her ability to play different players. And I think with the size that New York has and their ability to get to glass, and we were talking about that as being one of the four components, the offensive boards, like four you don't want to give New York, you know, second and third opportunities. What'd you say, Hank?
I said four factors.
Four factors. Like, and that's one of them. You got to get bodies out of there. And she does a great job boxing out. Like, she maintains her contact. I wouldn't be surprised if they went big lineup, right? And ran Clark at the three a lot in this series because of that, right? I think that Clark can guard anybody, you know, on the floor. Mm-hmm. So if they're switching or if they junk it up, you know, like Becky Hammon said, we had to change some things defensively, junked it up a little bit, some boxing one, triangle two, like they had to, you know, throw basically the kitchen sink out there defensively. So I think with Clark on the floor, that really opens things up and it really gives you more options and opportunities to try new things that you haven't practiced. And Becky Hammon said it as well. And we always talk about that too, right? Sometimes you just gotta, this is what we have to do. And just execute it. And they did that. That's why they've advanced. But I think that when you have a player like Clark who can bump off, switch off, and guard people straight up, right? I think it's going to be something that we may see a lot of in this series is Vegas going big and having Clark at the wing.
And to me, that also makes them a better matchup for New York defensively because they can bring physicality. And New York hasn't struggled a ton in the playoffs, not like a ton offensively, but they haven't been the same motor that they were, I think, in the regular season because of all the physicality that, you know, Connecticut brings and that Washington brings. So if you can replicate that physicality as much as possible, which I think putting Clark on the wing would help you do, then you're going to have a good advantage there. And that brings me to my X factor, which I would say to me, an X factor is someone who swings like, okay, if they play well within their reasonable range of outcomes, that could swing the game or the series towards her team. If she plays poorly within her, you know, expected range of outcomes, then that could sink her team's chances or at least change what they have to do to win. And for me, that's Kelsey Plum. Kelsey Plum is she's not she's not a six woman, which, you know, it's really good. You got Clark, which is a good one, but she is just a player who's gone up and down a little bit against New York. You see her point totals, her shooting. It's gone a little bit up and down. Now, in these playoffs, she has been shooting the lights out of the ball.
Right.
So you can kind of expect that to continue. But it's not an easy matchup for her on either end for Kelsey Plum against New York. You know, Courtney Vandersloot can stick with her. If Sabrina's on her, that's a bigger guard.
Right.
On the defensive end for her, it's like she has to match up with one of those three. And, you know, you kind of want someone a little bit more disruptive on Sloot, someone a little taller and more able to get around screens for Sabrina. And you want someone bigger for Lainey because Lainey's going to push you up if she has the opportunity to. So then that becomes just like a problem for Kelsey Plum defensively. So she has to do more offense. And I don't know. I mean, I think she gets a lot of what she does out of transition. She's a transition killer. And, you know, and we could talk about this again as New York's offensive rebounding. If that offensive rebounding continues, it takes some of the bite of that out of that transition. That's one of the things Vegas has really struggled with, right? It's like, if a team is getting a lot of offensive boards, That's going to make you have to crash the defensive glass a little harder, which means you're not sending as many people back on the break. So that's how that it diminishes your transition offense. So for Kelsey, she has a leash on her a little bit, just because if that offensive rebounding is there for New York, she can't get out in transition as much. So she's gonna have to find ways to score. She can find ways to score which are within the offense and without touching the ball as much, because they're gonna put the ball in Chelsea Gray's hands, the Finals MVP. So now it's like her role just becomes very complicated, and she has to kind of walk a tightrope of playing, you know, excellent defense, which she's totally capable of. And, I mean, that little rant at the beginning, she's just not as good a defender as some of the other people, like Alicia Clark on the Aces. So
she has to
play really, really well defensively and pretty well offensively when she has bad matchups on defense and she has a different role in offense than maybe what she's used to. So it's going to be really interesting to see what the Aces come up with to get her opportunities to score and how to, use her defensively. But I think she's the player that, if she has a really, really good series, I don't think there's any way that Vegas loses. She has a very poor series. I think it's going to be hard for Vegas to win.
Interesting. No, I agree with that. I mean, she has been shooting the leather off the ball in the playoffs for sure. I think it all comes down to matchups in the playoffs that we're kind of alluding to. And these two teams, like, they met up obviously during the regular season and then in the Commissioner's Cup, of course. But in those games, it's like I almost want to look at the stats, of Plum in those games. Okay. Can you peek at the Commissioner's Cup game?
I was looking at that today. The Commissioner's Cup game is not there, but I think I have that somewhere.
Oh, I know it wasn't regular season stats, but that
it's like so
box score of it.
Yeah, no, it exists. Like I have the box score of it. They just don't have any of the video. They don't have any of it put into other games. Like it's not in the
search. It's not on stuff. That list. Oh, that's a killer. But I'm just wondering, right? Like when those two teams were matched up and they met each other,
I have the stats. Sorry. I should have said this one actually. No,
bring it up.
Two wins, two losses for Las Vegas. Well, actually two wins, three losses because of the Commissioner's Cup.
Commissioner's
Cup. And we do count the Commissioner's Cup here because let me see if my assumption is still correct. Yeah. Okay, cool. Okay. So let's go back in time to June 29th. So Candace Parker is healthy at this point. Kelsey Plum, 7 of 12 from the field, 18 points, 58% from the field. Second game, 4 of 16, 25% from the field, 12 points. Loss for Las Vegas. So next game, 7 of 14, 50% from the field, 18 points. Las Vegas win. Commissioner's Cup, 4 of 11 from the field, 36% shooting percentage from the field, and a Vegas loss. And then the last one, a Vegas loss, 4 of 14 from the field, 28% from the field, 9 points. Keeping track at home, all of the losses came when she was shooting worse than 50% from the field.
Yes.
And all the wins came when she was shooting better
than 50%
from the field.
Talk. Because that's it. That's it. That tells the story, right? I mean, now, okay, since you have it right there, and this is her hoops.
I've been doing this for the last 3 days straight of what's it? And it's like, I have the offensive rebound. So there's a million stats and none of them tell us all the whole story. You just kind of got to watch it. And I'll tell you, and you can see the stats and they help you. They also confuse things you have good feel for this. But the stats are instructive for me.
It's what?
The stats are instructive.
Listen, that tells the story. I don't care. If I'm scouting or when I was coaching, I would look at their stats. That tells the story. It analytically breaks down the strengths and weaknesses of each person, right? And you want to take all that their strengths away, obviously. Anyway, but look at Laney's numbers. Can we see Laney's numbers
in those games against Vegas?
Yeah. Just because I want to have fun with that.
I believe she was different. It was not quite as
not as drastic as Plum.
Yeah, not like Plum was like, you know, she if she played well, they won. If she did it, they lost.
Yeah, 58.
So here, she played really well in all of these games, except for the first one. First,
never mind then.
First game where Candace Parker is there, which is a big time rim protector, which doesn't shock me that Laney struggled then.
Okay.
Just 3 points in that game. But in the games since August, we have 13 points, 17, 17 points each game. Better shooting 50% or better from the field. In the Commissioner's Cup, which he do. Commissioner's Cup, she was 0 for 5 from the field, oh, but wow, had 5 rebounds.
That's because Jonquel got loose. That's why. Jonquel got loose. They didn't need for her to do that in that game, I guess.
That's a Laney is also someone who is. Maybe she's so consistent, though. It's hard to, like, you're not going to find those trends. That's why I like someone like Plum, because it's like Plum is like, you know.
Yeah.
And also, she's. So the other thing with Plum, she's that, like, I love her. You know, and there's a bunch of players like this, but for me, you know, Plum is like, if the offense is going well and things are going the way that Las Vegas wants it to go, she's usually scoring.
Ah,
that's true. She's out there, and because of everything I just mentioned, like, she's out there to score. So if things are going well for Vegas, that means Plum is on the break, getting an open shot or getting an open layup, or she's, you know, coming off a pin down and she's wide open because of the attention to her. So, you know, she's just kind of an indicator of, like, how good that offense is doing, rather than someone like Laney, who, you know, you praise for all her consistency, and it's true. But, you know, regardless of where the team is, Laney's here, right?
Here.
There we go. That's better.
She's smooth.
She's like a little duck in the pond.
She's smooth, baby. Yeah. Yeah. She's a toughie. I mean, I get it. But I don't know. I just got, like, caught up in the stats and the numbers. But with Plum, I can definitely see that. And she, you know, and again, it's about those matchups, like, defensively, what's New York going to do differently? Like, what are the wrinkles that they're going to put in, excuse me, to be disruptive? And sometimes, you know, since you've played 5 times, right, it's more than, I mean, obviously, you know, your personnel, that's a wash, but collectively as a unit, are you going to tactically kind of stay with the same thing? Or are you going to, you know, you have a whole week, right? Before the game, right in the middle of that, you have a whole week to structure maybe something that's unpredictable, right? That something that's, you haven't shown in any of those 5 games, whether it be offensively or defensively. I told you, I pulled out that out of bounds under. They hadn't shown it at all, but we practiced it in our 5-on-0 sets, running through everything. Hey, run that one play. And then we ran it in the playoffs and got an and-one on it, and no one had seen it. So there are things that you've been rehearsing and practicing, and you keep it in that pocket. And then your team is prepared because you've done it every day in 5-on-0 and situations and whatever. And now here are the finals. Do you trust your team in these moments to pull something new and say, let's do this? Do you stay with what you've been doing and keep it moving?
I mean, I doubt you definitely have new plays, right? You got a whole week.
Do you?
Well, you have them.
Do you trust your team to execute them if you haven't really done it in game? And here we're in the finals and you have a whole week. Yeah. I mean, it's very tempting. I'm just thinking, like, as a coach, like, we've played them 5 times. Like, we got to come with a couple of, you know, little secrets in the pocket and pull out the back pocket. And
I think probably New York's a little bit more comfortable to say, you know, hey, we can just, if I'm New York, I'm like, hey, we'll just run the same things because everything we run, most of what New York runs, honestly, is out of reads. So it's like not. True. It's just changing with how their defense changes.
Yes.
And they have the players to do that. So I think for New York, you know, I don't even know if you need new stuff, but you can trust. I think you can totally trust Courtney Vandersloot to direct it if it goes wrong. Mm-hmm. For Vegas, I mean, these players have been together for so long that, you know, and I'll trust Alicia Clark with anything in any point. She could, like, if she was like, oh, I'm gonna be the president, I'd be like, yeah, sure. So like, yeah, I trust her. I trust her running a play.
Same.
But I think, you know, and also I did want to, there's a really cool play that I picked up what the play call was. And you can read about it on Ball and Order, but I'll just tell you guys now. Becky's running a play, and they may have done this during the regular season. I don't remember it though. It's called South Carolina.
I love that.
Right? It was okay. So it's an inbound. I think she inbounds it. Asia inbounds it. Or I think Asia inbounds it, or Chelsea Gray inbounds it. I don't remember. But somehow we get Asia down in the short corner, coming back up around the zoom, a little a screen followed by a handoff.
Yes.
From Kelsey Plum. And she just goes right to the rim and left curls hand. Right off it. And goes, she can hand. Go left, she can go right. It was, and she, the one I saw was right. Yeah. So South Carolina.
I heard her say that because she was mic'd up and she was like, South Carolina. I was like, oh.
She got, oh, it's a play for
Dawn Staley. It's a Dawn
or that. Yeah, yeah. I was trying to think. She probably did just take it from what Dawn did with Asia.
Yeah. I mean, get her to her left hand. It was like the dribble handoff, but she popped out to the short corner and then got a DHO and got downhill to her strong left hand. Oh, the one nice. I saw. The one I
no,
saw.
She had she had multiple. There was multiple. Because they ran it like two or three times straight against Dallas.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think I'd seen that before in another game. But
I was like, yeah, I love that play. I was like, wow, I just set her right up, you know.
Well, and now watch, because that's going to be on tape, and now they're going to be yelling, South Carolina, South Carolina. And Chelsea Gray is just going to slip to the rim, and it's going to be
blow it up, right? Yeah. They can blow it up now, but yeah, but that was really, I was like, oh wow, yeah, I thought that was awesome. But I think, you know, Asia,
I got Wilson, off track. What was I gonna say?
No, you were talking about, whether or not to, and I'm not saying just throw what you were doing away, but I'm saying do you, but add some little seasonings on it too. Like, don't just come regular. You got to come with sprinkles and some more glitter. Like, you got to have a couple, and not like 10 new things, right? Two or three, and maybe have the play look the same, but have different options out of it that are a little bit different, that are a bit unpredictable. So they can't blow up actions, right? Because they're expecting certain things from you. So maybe have something set up in whatever offensive scheme that you have planned and you have been running well all season. I mean, these top two teams in the league for a reason, okay? They've been executing. But you got to throw some little extra, you know, make a read. Like, hey, if this one comes up, you know, I'm going to rise and lift that and maybe set a back screen instead and get something different out of it. So I think you've got to stay unpredictable. And it is about matchups, but it's also about playing chess, not checkers right now. And you've got to be smarter. You got to be a step ahead. You've got to be ready to expect that from your opponent, right? This looks like this play they've been running all year, but oh, now they're doing something different out of it. So you have to be on awareness and on alert mode when you're playing against these teams that you are so familiar with, but you got to be able to counter some things as well.
So I think whatever, how about this? I'll give you a wrinkle. First wrinkle.
Give me a wrinkle.
my opening after the timeout, so our first play of the series.
Okay.
Or whichever team. I'm not sure who would actually pull us off.
Okay.
But like, just do whatever you normally do and someone runs back door, because you know, in the finals, that everyone's going to be so keyed up, and you know that I'm guessing one of these coaches can be like, hey, we're denying these cuts. We're making everything difficult. You know,
right.
You have to push her off her spots, whatever. So, you know, they're just going to be, you know, keyed up, ready to hit somebody. And then you just pull out a back door and it's an easy cut to the basket for a layup. So that's one of the teams will run something like that, a back cut. Yeah. Back cut, maybe a back screen off, like, you know, we have the pit staggered pin down, maybe across the back screen,
yes,
a little layup or like a flex screen.
Hit him.
That'll be my wrinkle right there.
I like
whatever our play is. But we have to see the defense.
The back screens are the worst, because most times you're that last line of defense anyway, and there's nobody really to call it out for you, because everyone's kind of occupied.
Especially when someone sneaks up on you.
Side.
Someone sneaks up on you from a help.
Yeah,
that's it.
Get hammered, man. That's the worst.
That's the lesson. If you want to hit somebody in basketball, you wait for your defender to help, and then you go set a back screen. There's no one talking there.
Nobody talking, and you get laid out. Yeah, Well, I love setting a good screen, honey. We'll talk about that another time. But yeah, we had a little pickup game last week. Yeah, with the media for the for the Wizards.
I heard about this. I wasn't in town.
Oh, yeah. Well, what did you hear?
Well, I heard that it happened.
Oh, okay. That's all. We're going to leave it. It did happen.
Oh, I got
it.
I want to hear. I want to hear about who played.
I was running, but I wasn't playing very well. But it was fun. But anyway, I had a little bruise on my arm because I was setting some hammer screens, and I loved it. Everyone thought I was all finesse and all. Oh, look at her.
The sharp elbows?
No, I'm laying into on some screens, and I loved it. That was like the highlight. Like, I was like fired up for 3 days after that because it was so good. Anyway, back screens are the worst, but you can always catch somebody sleeping, right? They got their head on a swivel, and you just... nail. That's the best feeling. I don't care. Like, anyway, I miss playing.
I did it to one of my players the other day. It was a lot of fun.
See?
That's how you get back. You want someone to listen to you, set a back screen on them.
Bop.
let's talk about Asia and Stewie really quick.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I don't want to preview this matchup so much because, like, what can we say about this matchup that hasn't been said about, like, Niagara Falls or the Grand Canyon or, you know, something like this is awesome. We don't have to talk about it. You know what it is. We know what it is. I do want to point out
that
this is the third time that these two have met in a playoff series. Do you remember?
Yes. Wasn't it Seattle beat them in the finals, right?
Seattle beat them in the finals, in the bubble finals.
The bubble finals, yes. Bubble.
And then last year's semifinals.
Semis.
Before that bubble finals, do you remember what happened? Well, other than other than COVID.
It's all I can't remember before COVID. It's like, it's a wash. Like,
during the bubble finals, Asia won the MVP and then came back and got swept.
Oh, yeah.
By Seattle.
That was her first, well, her only right now, but yeah.
Right? And now, Stewie just won the MVP.
Here we go.
We have a defending champion in the Vegas Aces. Although, Seattle wasn't defending, but they were defending because Brianna Stewart hadn't played, so it was like the first series. So we can count them as defending just for the purposes of this story. So we have defending champ going up against the MVP. A lot of energy.
Yes.
Bad, good feelings.
It's a good word.
Feelings abound.
Yeah.
Lots of emotions and feelings are around.
Bubbling up, honey.
How do you think, if you're Asia, or from both perspectives, how do you come into this game, this series, like thinking about this matchup?
Listen, if I'm Asia, I'm gonna put myself in both shoes. Okay.
Yes. Okay.
If I'm Asia, I'm going to be playing with so many chips on both shoulders, man. And I'm going to come out there and be so locked in. And I'm going to prove that they got it wrong. Okay, and that's all I'm saying. And that's how absolutely. I'm saying it. I'm Asia right now, so don't at me and yell at me. Listen, I'm Asia right now, and that's how I would come into this series. Like, you got that wrong. I'm her. I'm top tier. I do it on both sides. I am a two-way. I'm a block shots, defensive player of the year. I'm going to come at you. It's going to be nothing easy. And I'm going to be relentless. Okay? And I'm going to be so tough to stop. And you're not going to get by me. Okay? So I think there's going to be a tremendous amount of pride.
Extra motivation. Wilson.
Oh, it was just incentive on 1,000. Yeah. On 1,000. I love it. I love it. And I also know that she was so upset during the day when she found out that she didn't earn it. And Dawn Staley had spoken with her and everything. And she was asked about it. She said, hey, you know, I can't control that. But what I can control is the way I hoop. Okay. And bring that. That's what she's going to do. Listen, that's what she's going to do. She's going to flat out hoop. She's going to flat out prove it to herself and not others. Okay. Which is the best anyway, when you prove it to yourself. But for Stewie, Gabe, if I'm Stewie, I'm walking in there like, I'm Stu York.
been here, done this.
Been here, done it. Got two rings. That's one more than Vegas, right? I'm true to this, not new to it. You know, this is why I came back home. I came back home to win a ring at home, like Candace did in Chicago, like LeBron did in Cleveland. Like, let's not get it twisted. Here, this is my turn. So she's going to have a ton of pride in that way. And they named me MVP for a reason, and I'm going to show and prove. So she's got that, right? She's mm-hmm. got that. I'm at the top. I got jacket. I'm in it. This is me. And then you have Asia, who is going to, I mean, she's been up there too. She's been MVP. So I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of pride on the line, and I love it. It's going to be fire on both sides, and it's going to be fun to watch.
I'm trying. A thought popped into my head. Because I agree with you. It is going to, there's a certain, I love this extra motivation. This is like my, this series has happened a few times, you know, both in WNBA and in the NBA.
Yes.
Now, I think this is the first time, though, that there's two players that have won multiple MVPs.
Okay.
In the same final series? Am I wrong?
In the same final series, you said?
Maybe.
Probably like so. That. Yeah, I'm sure.
Regardless.
Off the top of my head, no, it off names.
That, that's a stat that's going to take too long to look for. Regardless, yeah. My question was going to be, is this the best team that Breanna Stewart has ever played on?
Oh, you asked a really good one.
I've been thinking about it. It's tough.
Wow. Natasha Howard, Sue Bird, Jewel Lloyd. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that's a really great question headed into this series. And I think we need to put it out to the people. We need to put that out as a vote. You got to put that on her Hoopstats socials and see what happens. Gosh. And then Clark too was in Seattle. Yeah.
Yeah.
They won two rings, man.
It's, oh, it's a really God. Good team. That I just was, think
that's, I think it's Seattle. Am I wrong for saying that?
Well, so here's the thing. Here's the thing is like, they didn't have,
that's tough.
You know, Courtney Vandersloot is not okay. as good as maybe has the, as good of a career as Sue Bird, but like,
yeah,
it was up there. Sabrina Ionescu, we think is certainly going to continue her trajectory. You know, then you have Jonquel Jones, who's won MVP.
God, Jonquel.
And there has not been a, she's not,
no,
you know, there hasn't been an MVP with with Stewie before.
With Stewie,
right? I'm not messing. No, there's no overlap with Lauren Jackson.
No,
no, that didn't happen.
No,
right. Yeah.
But so Sue Bird could have been MVP. Like she, I mean,
I don't think she was.
No, she wasn't. But I mean,
she, yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
Have been considered in that cloth.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, 5 gold medals. I mean, she's doing something right out here.
Yeah, no, she's
the match. I don't know. I know we haven't seen the full maturation of Sabrina, you mm-hmm. know, in these moments. But I think I'm going to have to lean towards Seattle by a skosh. I'm going to go Seattle by a skosh. I think Seattle was, if okay. Oh my God. That's so hard. That's a great question, though. But I'm going to go with Seattle. And it's, I mean, Sue played for so long, and I get that. I mean, we don't know what Sabrina's going to look like, you know, in 20 years or whatever. And I know she's going to play that long. But what? How many rings will she have by then? I don't know. So it's hard to answer that. But I am going to answer it. Look at me answering, because I know.
I know. You answered anything. without a prompt. That was great.
I'm going Seattle.
All right, so but Seattle. But this New York team Seattle. Is so,
right there, man. I'm going 51-49 on that thing. 51-49.
I gotta write it out.
Havsies, because woo-wee.
So the starting lineup we're talking about for Seattle is Bird, Jewel Lloyd. Gosh, she's been on some good teams. Bird, Jewel Lloyd, Alicia Clark.
Yeah.
Natasha Howard, Breanna
Stewart. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
That's good.
Dang, man.
It's a good basketball team.
It's pretty darn good, dude. That's a Sloot, pretty tough squad.
Sloot, Ionescu, Laney, Stewart is the four here. And Jones.
Jonquil.
Salute Enescu, Laney, Stewart, Jones.
That's tough.
I'm gonna go New York just because, like,
really,
if you look at these two, all right, let's take Brianna Stewart out of this. Who's the second best player on this list in the time that they were playing with Sloot? So we don't get Prime Burb. I mean, we do get Prime Lloyd though, and maybe Jewel Lloyd better than Jonquil.
Jewel is flat out a dope, and he led the league in scoring.
And it's not like she's not an MVP caliber.
Oh, she's a flat out dog. Gold Mamba. I can't. That's Seattle. What say you, people? I'm going Seattle.
Yeah, I'll clip this somehow.
I think that'll be so good.
Because like this, I just thought, I had this random thought earlier today. And I was like, you know, like, is this his best Stewie team? And then I got distracted, you know, looking at offensive rebound numbers. But like,
no, that's a great question. And I think that's really good. Throw that out there. I think people would love that. And I think I bet you if you put votes out, like which team, like put the five names, I bet it'll be 51-49%. 51-49.
Well, you know, one of the fan bases is going to get like Seattle. The Seattle Storm fans have nothing to do with
Beehive.
No offense, Seattle Storm fans. I saw Ezzy play in EuroLeague. I was watching on my phone. It was hard to tell. I think she had a great basket. Or is Christina Nigue, because they kind of look the same from like the hair perspective. They both have the same hair. But no, it wasn't Christina Nigue. She's on a different team. So no, I'm pretty sure it was Ezzy. If it's okay. It's possible someone looks like Ezzy with the little pixelated phone. But right. I saw Ezzy do something good. So I'm not making fun of you, Seattle Storm fans. But it's probably going to be them who take over the poll.
The Beehive. They're going to beehive it out.
They got nothing better to do. What are they doing?
Well, they didn't make the playoffs.
We have a week off.
Make it again soon. Yeah, a whole week. And then it's like 3 days in between. It's Sunday, Wednesday.
I know.
Yeah. But the anticipation is going to be like, I like that. I like wait.
I hate it.
A little bit. Not too long.
We should play. If it was up to me, we'd play all seven finals games on the same day. AAU tournament.
Yeah. Oh,
three on the first day, four on the next day. You gotta win game six to get to the fourth one.
And then everybody's dragging their butts in game six. Trying to move like me in that scrimmage last week. Anyway, I digress.
Okay, I got some tickets. Do you want to pick an MVP?
Oh, wow. Yes. And I was just kind of talking about it today. I'm going to go with Chelsea Gray being the MVP. And I'm even, look at me being all extra bold.
This is amazing.
Oh my God. Look, this is so different. But I'm here for it. Look, Chelsea Gray, MVP, game five, overtime, buzzer beating three balls.
Balls in the
fader,
air.
Ball in the air, and they win by one. Fader from three, cashing out, boop, and hit one of those dramatic, you know, step back triples to win it, and then everyone like runs and crushes into her. And if that happens, what do I win?
You say it for every series though.
A Starbucks, maybe a Starbucks gift card or something like that.
You say it for every series though. We gotta do, you know, when we have to do this is when we do our brackets. Just say it for every single game. This one's gonna end in a buzzer beater with the ball in the air, because one of them you're gonna be right.
I know, I keep there's putting one it every out the season. Atmosphere. I think it's because I want that to happen. So, but I want the dramatic, like crazy ending.
We're also picking who's going to win, because we're not going to give the MVP to a player on the losing team.
No, so, that can't happen.
So you got Vegas winning in five games on the buzzer beater by Chelsea Gray. Interesting. I got the libs.
Do that, but I'm doing it.
I got the libs.
Get pushed in. What do you have?
I have the Liberty. I'm going five games as well. Although when I say five games, now I think about it, it's like really difficult to win deciding game five in the other team's house. But I'll stick with the Liberty, in five games.
By By how many?
I don't think it comes down. I don't think it comes down to a buzzer beater. I think there's some big late shot, but there's free throws afterwards.
Free throws. That's even worse.
Free throws are the worst.
Free throws are worse. I've been there, done that.
You know they're getting rid of the bonus? I mean, I'm sorry. They're getting rid of the 1-on-1?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Hate it. Back to the current series. I was just stalling because I don't have an MVP pick. I don't know. I think it's going to be Jonquel if they win.
God, I mean, she was her. In the Commissioner's Cup, she was MVP.
I just think, like, if they win, it'll be because Jonquel has been dominant.
I can see that.
That's why I think I can see New that. York. If Vegas wins, though, I think I'm on the Chelsea Gray train as well.
The Gray train.
You know, sneaky pick here is Jackie Young. Because Hello. Jackie Young, she's very consistent. She kind of is like, she kind of has the Banja Laney thing.
Where, yes. Where,
you know, right on the, and she has been consistent against New York.
She has. Jackie
Young. So that may be my pick for New York, but I mean for Vegas, sorry. But I do think it's Chelsea Gray at the end of it, because it's Chelsea Gray, right? Like
Chelsea Gray, man.
I've seen this movie before.
But she's gonna tell you too. She's gonna do it, and she's gonna go like.
That's the scariest place.
Listen. I don't know. I think it's gonna be a great series. Mm-hmm. I love the dynamics of, you know, both coaches playing the league. I know Sandy Brondello coached Becky Hammon, right? When she was in the league,
and played against.
They played against each other, man. It's like a movie, right? The whole thing is a movie. This is terrific. I just think I want great basketball. We've seen it all season. We got the one in the tube and kind of eyeballing it since February when these two teams kind of formed together. And we're like, oh, man, everybody's like, oh, is that going to be the finals? Well, here we are. And you got what you manifested back in February.
Thank you, basketball, for everything.
Here we are. But then now we've manifested two different endings here. So we'll see what the atmosphere picks up from us.
It'll matter much more what the players manifest.
That's true too. You better preach. Look at you.
That's who's manifesting. I remember, this is unrelated, but I went to Catholic school. And so, like, before the test, you know, you pray sometimes. And I just remember, I'll never forget this. One of my teachers, Mrs. Ramos, she goes, it doesn't help if you pray now and you didn't pray while you were studying, because that's when you needed help. You can't have help now. The test is here. The help's not coming. The help was before.
The help.
You better
was
been
prior.
Praying last night.
You're right. Oh, she was right on, honey. Oh,
I've never forgotten that. That was in sixth grade.
Oh my god, that's a gem.
We should talk a little bit about expansion, just a little bit.
Oh yes. Let's do that.
All right, I'm writing it out. What I want to say. Oh, here's what I want to say.
A lot of flirting with that right now.
I think we're more than flirting. I think we're in like a full secret Travis Kelce Taylor Swift relationship. Where it's like, oh, we're trying to keep it secret, but like we're at the football games together and all that. Shouts now and forever for Taylor for putting Travis Kelce on the map. Because no one knew who it was. That's a joke on social media. I know that.
That's really funny.
I'm a fan of it because I love Taylor Swift. She's doing something for him.
Quick on Taylor Swift. While you're looking, that really, it'll take 15 seconds max. But the whole Taylor Swift thing, I love it because all these little girls and young women are watching football. Not the football, not the players. They see women in leadership roles on these sidelines. Get into it. I'm like, let's watch that too. Okay. Let's see how many times we show Taylor Swift in the suite, but also let's see all the women who have the headsets on who are coaching these guys on the field up. Let's do that. Okay. So I love the fact that Taylor Swift is there because now you have an infiltrated group of girls and women who are watching not only for the musical rah-rah of it all, but for other things that are going to catch their eye without them knowing. And they see it as normalcy Let's go. I'm here for it. So sorry if that was more than 15 seconds.
No, but no, that was great. I
love that.
Always have time for Taylor Swift on this podcast, no matter what. We can always talk Taylor.
I'm a Swiftie now. Because
welcome.
Of
that. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the club. I'm trying to go to the
From the Beehive to the Swifties. I'm like, I can be both. It's fine.
Yeah. There's I think there's massive crossover. The other benefit, I saw someone say this on Twitter about Taylor Swift is like the NFL realizing, oh wait, like women like our product because they have like women have been a huge part of the NFL fan base for like a long time, and we've known this. But like they like the marketing efforts towards women have been very we'll say hit or miss mostly miss. So I think now, you know, hopefully Taylor's arrival and hopefully, you know, can she hang out for Travis, can you make it work for like a season, man? Like eventually you're gonna be a part of a song, okay? You're gonna mess this up. It's a 100% chance of failure.
Music video.
You're gonna mess this up. But like give us the season. So we have this for the entire NFL season. Expansion. How did I mention this? Travis Kelce thing. I don't know. But the point of expansion that I want to talk about with this particular finals is you mentioned how this is the first finals with two former players as the head coaches. That's been such a huge push over the last, you know, 5 to 7 years since I've been involved in the league of like getting more coaches, getting more players in the coaching roles. Another big push has just been the immense popularity boom that we talked about throughout the years of doing this podcast. And we've seen grow and grow, and this league continue to grow and grow and grow. And, you know, at the center of all of that, at least for me, because I started watching, you know, really intently in like 2018, is Asia Wilson and Breanna Stewart. And that we finally, you know, have those two as fully formed professionals, fully healthy, not in a bubble, like in the finals, like ready to go. I feel like this is just a great, it's a kicking off, like it's a new chapter. Of the WNBA, where we're going to have expansion to allegedly, reportedly San Francisco, and then allegedly kind of to, I don't even know if this is allegedly, it's just like random whispers. Portland is another place I've heard. So, you know, as we expand, it just kind of like, it's crazy to see that expansion might actually be happening.
I love
after
it.
After all the years we've talked about it.
We have, but I think, you know, the numbers are off the charts, you know, with viewership, you know, the pre and post game, well, not the post game, but the pregame show, being on ABC on Sunday afternoon and primetime on Wednesdays, I think has really been great leverage for the league. And Kathy Engelbert, I mean, she wants the best for the league, but she also wants it to be viable options and opportunities. So, you know, you have the right investments. We saw what happened in Toronto in the preseason. It was a sellout there with 20,000 people in there. We've seen every other week numbers like through the off the charts, you know, for these games that have been played this season. So I think there's an audience for it. I think there are new fans that are coming to the league because of what the league stands for and the unification of it all. I think there's girl power who is turning into women of force and fire, and it's really changing the game. And don't get me started, because I love it. And I think this series is going to be something that gains traction for this league, much like the 1996 Olympic gold medal team who went through the trenches and sacrificed through those days of where they were overseas playing. That documentary, if you haven't seen it, is fantastic. But that tells the story. But I think this is like the next launch point, right? There's been incremental growth and exponentially so over the course of the 27, 28 years of the league. But now, you know, with expansion, we're seeing hope for extended expansion. But I think this series with two players who have played in the league previously, coaching against one another now, I mean, I think that just tells the storybook of it all. And I think the league is ready. I think fans are more than ready. Especially back in the Bay. You know, Sacramento had a team that was great, won a championship in 05. You know, there are people who are waiting for a team to go back to Houston. Beyonce, call me, girl. But I mean, there's so many great things on the horizon for this league. And this is just another one of those points of growth, right? This series and these expansions, you know, just another jumping off point for this league to continue to grow. And I'm just so here for it. Like, I can't even tell you how thrilled I am to see all these tweets and all these notifications pop up. And they're like, WNBA needs to expand. And then the WNBA responds back, heard you. And I'm like, wait, what? I'm like, oh, I'm sending eyeball emojis. Like, oh, what are we doing? It's exciting. And
it's extremely exciting.
Hey, boom, boom, boom.
And so, I've been dying to go to Portland. Although I do not like their men's basketball team at the moment, but that's neither here nor there.
Like Jimmy Butler's hair. That's the other thing.
Jimmy Butler's hair. I'm very emo about it. But let me see. Actually, I don't have my cards up. I do have my cards at home.
Get up.
I'm gonna find it.
Get it.
I was gonna say, like, the Portland Fire had a great logo, great history. That'd be great if they go back to Portland. That one has not been as ballyhooed. I think you've seen and I've seen the tweets about there potentially being an announcement as soon as October 5th, which is tomorrow, which I don't know if that's going to be in the past, present, or future for you. Yeah. that there will be an announcement that they're going back to
Portland Fire, right?
I mean, I'm sorry, that they're going to San Francisco. And there was that report earlier that they had that the Warriors have bought the team, right? Have bought the rights to a team.
That's what I saw. Saw that.
So looks like that's going to be what we're doing.
Going to be the deal.
Oh, man. I love it. Where is this card? This is a cool one, though.
Oh, look at that. Wait, skew it down because there's a little glare on it. Like, there we go. Oh, look at you.
Vinaja Lania.
Wow, wow, wow.
Oh, come on, Gabe. There it is.
Talk to me, Gabe. Oh, look at that.
There we go. So let's hopefully bring back the Portland Fire as well. I'm a big fan of the logo. Big fan of Jackie Styles. Oh, no, Christy.
I know. Somebody's calling me champ.
Well, Chris, you know, that's about as good of a time as any to call it quits.
Yeah, no, but oh, my gosh. What a great conversation, though. Oh, my gosh. Okay, first of all, you've got to put those votes up because that was a phenomenal question that I'm still spinning in my head, even though I gave an answer for a change. But we have to definitely do that. So are we bumping out? Are we bumping out for tonight? We're good? All right. Hey. It's been a marvelous conversation. You know, I always love chopping it up with you, my friend. Look at Gabe over there preaching tonight. Tilly was preaching. I love it. Hey, look, the finals are coming up on Sunday at 3:00 on ABC. So make sure you guys tune in and watch that. But we'll be bringing you updates throughout the series. It's a 5-game series. And every 3 days they're going to be playing. So it's going to be a lot of fun to chop it back up with you guys after a couple games in to see if our prognostications come true. But anyway, we don't have to go home, but we got to get up out of here. So for Gabe Ibrahim, I'm Christy Winters-Scott. Join us next time right here on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network for Courtside with Christy and Gabe. We'll see you next time. Bye.